takes a minute to get everything turned on. Good morning again, everybody. We're thankful for the beautiful weather that God's given to us. If we didn't need it, He wouldn't give it to us. So here, let's talk this morning about the grace that God gives and how He gives unto us that grace. So every opportunity that God gives unto us as believers in serving Him, here's how we should see it. Not just as an opportunity, but we should see it as an honor and a privilege to be doing the work of the Lord. Sunday school lesson kind of went along with this just a little bit. So if we look upon this based upon our own outward works, then we're not going to see the opportunity that God has in store for us. So we have to see it the way that God has meant for it to be in our life. And it comes through the inward working of the Holy Spirit. So this gives us the faithfulness that we need, that God can reward as we go along in our life. So what do I mean by this, that God is going to reward us? What are these rewards that God gives us in our life? They're blessings of eternal joy. When we begin to see the hope of our eternal joy in the Lord for our faithful service unto Him, when we are living according to the righteousness of God that is within us. So this is the rewards that we get from God. So our abilities have nothing to do with it, because our own abilities, we can do nothing by our own abilities, but it has everything to do with the abilities that God gives unto us. And as we stated in Sunday school class this morning, God would never ask us to do anything that He has not already given us the ability to do it. So keep that in mind in our life. So He does, through His word, He commands us to use the abilities that He has given unto us. He wants us to use those things to accomplish what our potential is. God wants us to see our full potential in Him. You know, a lot of times we never see our potential because we don't express ourselves. We don't actively do those things that God has in store for us to do. Now, a lot of times when we're looking at our potential, we're looking at others' potential as well. And I think Roger brought this up in Sunday school. When we're doing that, then if we're trying to live according to somebody else's potential, it's not going to work. We have to stay with what God has given us to do. God can do. So don't ever think that just because you don't think you have much that God can't do anything with you, because God can do a lot with a little. Okay? And we can look at our own life and say, we can see God does a lot with a little. So we're thankful for that in our life. So He wants us to use whatever it is that He has given unto us. He wants us to use that to glorify Him without faith wavering. He says nothing wavering. So He doesn't want us to hold anything back. So it doesn't matter what circumstance, what situation, what trial, what tribulation, whatever it is that we're going through in our life, God has given us the ability to work through that, still see our potential to serve Him the way He wants us to serve Him. And He uses this as a motivation for us in our life, so that we might see our need for a deeper, lasting, intimate relationship with Him. That's what God wants us to see. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, here's what He says. See then that you walk circumspectly. Does anybody know what that word means? I had to look it up myself. Does anybody know what that? So see that you walk, sir. So He, as we're living our life down here upon this earth, God wants us to be alert. Okay, we should see the things that are coming against us. We should see the dangers of the world. We should see the spiritual opportunities that God has in store for us. And when we're looking at all this and we're seeing all this, then we should have a willing desire to continue to live according to the will of God. So he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. He says, not as fools. So not as being in the world or a part of the world, but he says, as being wise, meaning through the wisdom and the knowledge that we gain through the Word of God. So God does not want us in our life. He doesn't want a self-centered person, somebody that is only all about themselves in our service to Him. So because of this, then He assigns each one of us a task, because He wants us to be active in our life in Christ. And these tasks are according not to our time. See, when God gives us something, when God gave Jonah something to do, what did Jonah do? He said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go to the other. But God gives us a task according to His timing and according to His purpose, when He wants us to do it and how He wants us to do it. So He wants us to see each one of these tasks as an opportunity. As an opportunity, not just to serve Him, but an opportunity to glorify Him, because He's trying to encourage us in our service unto Him. Everything that God does in our life is an encouragement for us to do more, for us to have a deeper, greater relationship with Him. Now, one of the reasons that this doesn't always work is because of our old nature. We have a lot of envy and a lot of jealousy within us. Lord, how come the task that You give me isn't as great as the task that You gave so-and-so in the church? I want to be more like them. See, envy and jealousy kind of sometimes ruins our relationship with God. So we should never feel in any part of our life that there is greater here and less here, or less here and greater there. We should never feel that in our life in Christ, because everyone is worthy of whatever it is that God wants them to do. God gives to each one opportunity according to the abilities that He has given unto us. And with these opportunities, He's done what? He's given us gifts. He gives us strength. He gives us power. All these things that we need in order to complete what His purpose and plan is for our life. He gives us all that, and He encourages us to use that. So that means we shouldn't be envious of others. You know what envy does to us in our life in Christ? It minimizes our spiritual strength. Because when we're trying to seize somebody else's opportunity, we're not growing and maturing in our own. So it minimizes our strength in the Lord. So we've got to ask God. We got to talk to Him, not only to use us, but to continue to give us these strengths so it would be to the fullness of His glory. Nothing to do with us, nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with anybody else, but it has everything to do with God. So we have to use these strengths and gifts, not just for what God wants us to do, but we also have to use them to lift others up and encourage others within the body of Christ as well. In the book of Matthew, let's go to the book of Matthew for just a minute. In the book of Matthew, chapter 9, starting with verse 37, it says, then saith He unto His disciples, and here this when we talk about the grace that God wants to give, He said, then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. So when you look out there in the world today, there's a lot to do. There's a lot for the believer to do. He said, but here's the problem. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but He said, there's not enough laborers. He said, the laborers are few. So the first thing that He says, pray. Okay? Pray. Now, here we're praying for ourselves. We're probably good at that. And I think I even asked this question in Sunday school class, and Gigi answered it. Is when do we normally pray for ourselves? When it concerns us, when we want something. But He says, pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest will send forth more laborers into the harvest. So what does that mean? That means that the work that is going on in the church, we pray that God not only gives us a willing desire to do it, but he also gives others a willing desire to do it as well. And we also pray that he will help us to encourage others to become a part of something within the body of Christ. Every one of us has something to do. Every one of us can be active within the body of Christ, and he wants us to do it. He doesn't want to see any arrogance. He doesn't want to see any pridefulness. He doesn't want to hear any complaining. Okay, no complaining, but he wants us to be humble. He wants us to be compassionate. He wants us to be faithful in what we have to do, and he wants us to do it through his love. Through his love, through his grace, and through his mercy. So that means we have to come to understand in our life, while we're living here upon this earth, it's never too late. Never. Don't say, oh, I've sat here in this church for 30 years. I might as well not do anything now. It's never too late to become a faithful servant of God. It's never too late to learn wisdom. It's never too late to learn knowledge. It's never too late to do those things that God has for us to do in our life. So that means that as being workers within the body of Christ, and we're going to say we're overcome this. Now we're workers within the body of Christ. So there's one thing we have to realize. So there has to be some understanding, a realization that even though we might feel, oh Lord, give me a break next week. I just sacrificed so much of myself this week for you. Is there any such thing? No such thing. So here's what it comes down to. What is most important to you in your life? What is most important to me in my life? And the answer should be the same. It should be the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That all would come to see, to understand, and accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we have this work to do, so works is what? It's part of our service unto God. That's what our works is all about. So he blesses these works. He gives us the ability to do these works. So in order to do this, then we have to humble ourselves and be able to do the things that God wants us to do in our life. So if you go back into the book of Psalm, the 37th Psalm, we were in Psalms a couple times this morning, but go to the 37th Psalm. And here's what he says, Psalm 37, starting with verse 3. And he gives you a list of things here that we're supposed to do in our service unto the Lord, in order to humble ourselves in our service to God. So starting in verse 3, the first thing he says is what? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, I know he was talking to the Israelite people and about their land, but when we're talking about our life today, he said he wants us to continue to dwell in the place that he's put us in, and that's our spiritual place in the Lord, in him. And he says, if we'll dwell there, then he says, I'll feed you. But, you know, a lot of times we don't dwell there. How do we dwell there? We dwell there through prayer. We dwell there through studying and meditating upon the Word of God. And he says when he does this, then he will feed us. He said, secondly, he said, you have to delight yourself in that. You got to want to do that. You got to be joyful. Oh, I'm excited. When I leave here today, I get to go home and study my Bible. Everybody with me? No, when you leave here today, you're going where? To your favorite place to eat. No, so I'm excited about that. I got to delight myself. And he said, when I do that, he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Now, I'm not talking about any worldly desires here. I'm talking about what you desire spiritually in your life. We should desire to mature in our life in Christ. We should desire to go out and do the work that he has for us to do. So he said, I'll give you those desires. The next thing he says, commit thy way into the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Those things that he has in store for you too. So your desires are what? Your desires should be what God desires for you. So he's going to give you those desires because that's what he wants for your life. And now he says, I'm going to bring those things to pass if you'll commit unto him. And it says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, thy judgment as the noonday. And then he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So as we see ourselves focusing on the characteristics of God, that, and these characteristics have everlasting joy. This is what God wants us to focus on in our life. So that means these are the things that we're going to do. We're going to trust in the Lord. We're going to delight in the Lord. We're going to commit ourselves to the Lord. We're going to rest in the Lord. All these things that God has for us to do in our life. Only when we begin to do these things in our life will we begin to see how that God gives his grace accordingly to each and every one of us in our life. So let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 20, and let me read you an example of this. The book of Matthew, chapter 20, starting with verse 8. And I'll read down through this quickly. Matthew, chapter 20, starting with verse 8. And it says, so when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received only a penny. Okay? And when they had received it, they did what? One of the things that we said we were not supposed to do when working for the Lord is complain. It said they murmured. They murmured and complained against the goodman of the house, meaning against God, and saying, how come these people that only worked an hour got the same pay that I got? So here comes that worldly envy and jealousy into our life. As believers, we can probably see it as sinners, but as believers, here it comes. And he said, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? So when you were saved, what did you agree to with the Lord? And you know, a lot of people say, I didn't agree to nothing. But yes, you did. When you accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, you agreed to accept responsibility. You agreed to be obedient to the Word of God. You agreed to follow after the promises and the commandments that He gives to us in His Word. And you agreed not to be envious of other people, but you agreed to encourage and lift those people up. So these are the things that we agreed to. So He said, take what is thine, go thy way, for I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, what did we read? Let's just jump back to Matthew chapter 9 again real quick. And what did he say in chapter 9? Do you remember what he said? He said, pray that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. He says, because the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He answers that right here. Why do we not have enough laborers? He said, it's not because I haven't called them, but he said, it's because of all these other things, they were not chosen, meaning they did not sincerely desire to become a laborer for me. We must have that willing desire to serve the Lord. we will be blessed according to the goodness, the grace, and the mercy of God, not according to what we think we are worth. If we were blessed according to what we think we were worth, none of us would be here today because we'd be outliving our worth. But God has given us according to what He sees, according to His grace. So that means we're rewarded according to our faithful service unto Him. So that means we must never think, pay attention to this, we must never think that of our rewards in terms of worldly material wealth. Nothing gained out here in the world. But we must think of our rewards as the blessings of our eternal life with God. This is where we are. So that means these blessings have eternal value. We're working for things that have eternal value. God gives to us according to whatsoever is right and pleasing in His eyes. So in the book of Isaiah, here's one of the things he tells us to remember when we're looking towards God's grace. Isaiah chapter 55, starting with verse 8. Here's what he says. God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Thank goodness. If God followed after our train of thought, we'd all be in trouble. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Now, we might once in a while get a little bit of worldly pridefulness and say, "Well, I'm really doing good. I'm doing exactly what it is God wants me to do." "Neither are your ways my ways." So apparently, we're not doing exactly what it is God wants us to do. And that's because we're not thinking like God. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and control the thoughts that we're having. So he said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So that means we're made in the image and the likeness of God. So we've got to learn to forget about all of these other things, and we have to focus on God's eternalness, God's sovereignty, the power and the strength that God gives unto us, because His works are far beyond what our limited capabilities are. So that means every day we're talking to the Lord and we're asking God to show us those abilities, to help us with those things in our life. Help us to understand how to become more perfect like Him, how to become more Christ-like in our life. So our plans are going to fail. Are you with me on that? Our plans are going to fail. Our expectations may try to send us into a place of humility and frustrations, but God will always be there to make sure that we know that He is working within us, that He is working for us, and we are a part of His eternal plan. God will always, always reassure us of that in our life in Christ. He does not want us to ever get to the point in our life in Him that we feel like we've been abandoned and there's nothing else for us to do. Because He always has something in mind for us in our life in Christ. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting with verse 27. And here's what he said. Let's back up to 26. He says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us." So what does that mean? That means when you go to talk to the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit what you should talk to the Lord about. That would cut through a lot of nonsense. That would cut through a lot of trivial things that were that's not going anywhere. Those prayers that aren't making it past the top of your head, so to speak. So he said, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to pray the things that he knows that we need to be praying for in our life. And he says, and he that searches the hearts already knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he's the one making intercession for us according to the will of God. So how many times have we stopped and we've prayed and what we've been praying for had nothing to do with the will of God in our life? We've probably done it this morning. Nothing to do with what God's will for us in our life. So he wants us to pray according to his will. Lord, what is your will for me in my life today? Did anybody, when you woke up this morning, was that the first thing that came out of your mouth? Lord, what is your will for me in my life today? Did anybody do that? Don't answer. Because I don't know if I done it. But did we? And should we? Yes, we should. So he said, and we know, pay attention to this, we know. We see, we all, as believers, we, you know, when we ask these questions, we already know the answer. When you talk to God, God has already given you the answer. But we're looking for encouragement, so we ask. And he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. He said, we already know this. As believers, we know this. And by the time we leave here today, we will forget this. But he says, we know. We already know. So we should put this in here somewhere so that when these things begin to come up, well, I already know. I already know that everything, every work that God has for me to do, it's good. It works together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose, to them who are given grace accordingly. This is what this means. According to his purpose means that he has given unto us grace accordingly. Accordingly to what he has for us to do for him in our life. So at the heart of God's goodness, at the heart of his faithfulness is his grace. This is what we have received. We have received his grace. And what we have received from God, has nothing to do with the extent or the quality of the labor of our works. Because God gives us more grace. So instead of looking at it in that way, he wants us to see it as something that it was freely given. His grace was freely given unto us. It came by Christ through his work on the cross and the resurrection. And now, as believers, here's what we're doing. We're waiting and we're longing to go on to be with the Lord. But in the meantime, we're working and serving him according to the grace that he has given unto us. And he could never give us anything more than he's already given us. That was what his grace was all about. So because of this, because of our doubts and our fears and we don't have that willing desire all the time, then God has put within us his Spirit. This is part of the grace of God. He didn't just leave us out there with no help, but he gave us his Spirit to help us through our weaknesses, which we have. Lots of weaknesses every day in our life. God gave us his Spirit to help us through those things so that our communication with him should never, 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 never be broken. When is our communication with God broken? When we don't listen to the Spirit and we follow after our lustful worldly desires, that becomes a hindrance in our relationship with God, and our line of communication is not where God wants it to be. So he gave us his Spirit so this line of communication might remain unbroken. But in order for us to know this, we have to grasp what our life in Christ is truly all about. We have not, and when I say grasp it, we have to take hold of it. We don't always, sometimes we're pushing it away. How many of you have sat down before and looked, and you push the Bible away? I'll read it later. Or when God says pray, I'm busy right now, Lord. We're pushing. We're not taking hold of, we're pushing away. God wants us to always be taking hold of that He has in store for us in our life. So that means that His grace and His blessings, what He has for us to do, there will be less place if we grasp a hold of those things, if we take a hold of those things and continue pulling them towards us, then there'll be less room or less place in our lives for the other stuff that's causing us to push it away. And that's what He wants. He wants us to clean off, if your countertops like ours, and we have two grandkids, we have a nice big island in our kitchen that we can sit around and eat, and you can't sit around it and eat because the wrong stuff's on the table. It's kind of like our life in Christ. We're pulling the wrong stuff onto the table, and we've pushed the other stuff away. So God wants us to understand that in our life. He wants us to get rid of those things. He wants us to come to understand that God gives unto every believer, He gives generously. It's up to us to make the room for it. And when we begin to make room for it, and when we begin to take hold of those things and pull them closer and closer and closer unto us, then we're going to begin to understand how that God gives to us according to His grace. He knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it, and He gives it to us so we'll live exactly the way He wants us to live. And that's with the joy of our salvation intact, so that we might show others what the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, we're truly thankful for each and everything that You do for us in our life, Heavenly Father. We're thankful, Lord, for every opportunity, for every hope of our eternal life, for everything that creates value in our life that is pleasing unto Thee. And we just pray, Lord, as we continue through our lives here upon this earth, Lord, help us to pull You closer and not push You away, so that we might always be found doing those things that are pleasing unto Thee. So that we might always be found rejoicing, Lord, in the blessings that You have in store, not just for us, Lord, but for each and every one around us, that You help us, Lord, to encourage to see what salvation, Your salvation, is truly all about. We just ask this day, Heavenly Father, that the requests that were made, the ones that we're praying for and lifting up to You, Lord, that we're just so thankful that the touch of Your hand is upon each and every one, and that, Lord, that we can go through another day worshiping and praising You, Heavenly Father. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember, Thursday evening, we've moved on to the church of Thyatira. We're going to start down through and talk about it for a little bit. I did order some more books, but I do have some more back there for the ones that didn't get theirs Thursday, because once we're done with the churches, we're going to try this book out and see if it kind of helps maybe a little bit in our studies and stuff. So I've got more for you, Jim, Susie. You guys, don't leave till I give you your books. So remember that. What else is going on? Next Sunday, is that the third Sunday next Sunday? So Brother Lou will be here preaching. Brother Roger will be doing communion. So let's keep that in mind. Keep that in prayer. Anything else? Bible studies here Thursday.
Yep.
Anything else? Let's remember all the prayer requests. If there's nothing else, let's stand.
Just real quick, I know you all seen already our little messenger group for our church here.
Oh, yeah.